webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
A thief fell out of heaven with some loaded dice, but the Lamb rolled a seven back to paradise. The bread was finally leavened, so I had a slice, and the sun began to rain. Water swelled from fountains and then turned to wine. Rocks fell from the mountains in a chorus line. He came in tails and top hat, and he looked so fine. Yes, the sun began to rain. A fox snuck in to steal away the grapes. But the man who ran the vineyard shut the gate, so he could not escape, and now we'll live. It first was planned. Did you get your invitation to come play in the band and let the sun begin to rain?
Hi, and welcome back to the Gospel Revolution podcast, where tonight we have a treat for you. We'll be revisiting some of the highlights of the last couple of years of podcasts, and maybe this week and maybe next week as well. Just depends on what we get through tonight. And to bring us in there was Larry Norman with, on the piano, Dudley Moore. And here is Michael Williams himself, the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution. Michael.
Gospel issue number one, sin.
The issue of sin is big. That because of one man's sin, that God took that sin and charged it against everybody's account. We didn't do what Adam did, but we became what Adam was. If Adam is called the first Adam and Jesus is called the last Adam, my mind must remain arrested to this comparison. By one man's sin, all were made sinners, and that by one man's obedience, all have been made righteous. All of you that have believed know that you know that feeling and that sense of relief from sin. You know that feeling very well. My challenge to you is that you could have that every day of your life without ever addressing sin again. Ever.
Any questions? Go to GospelRevolution.com and order Gospel 101 now. Available in singles or discount multi-packs of 10, 25, and 50 CDs. If you don't ask any questions, you're not going to get any answers.
Michael, it's James Oliver calling from Kelowna, British Columbia. I was at your latest deal over here in Calgary. I'm just giving you some feedback on the Gospel 101. Man, it's awesome. It's truly awesome. I got the Gospel of Peace, I got the Gospel of Grace, and I got the comparisons between the flood and the cross. I got it done inside. I've listened to it morning and night for four days since I got back, and it's made all the difference. It's made all the difference, man. 30 years of reading and struggling and not knowing how to connect the parts and put the puzzle together that's there, and it makes all the difference. I really, really love you for the work you did, man. I really, really love you. Appreciate it so much. Thank you. And I'll be ordering more in the future. So I just got to get these, the ones, the 25 that I bought, I split them up between me and Dee and Lee. And I've got them all assigned to different people that I used to go to church with years ago. And once I get them, that's time, I'll be ordering more, I'm sure. Anyways, talk to you later. I really love you. Anyways, bless you, bro. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is what we've all been looking for. This is what we've all been looking for. Was how do we decipher what's been written, and how do we know for sure where we stand when we read what we read?
And that was a message left on Mike Williams' answering machine after James Oliver from Kelowna, British Columbia, went home after a conference where he'd bought the CD, Gospel 101, listened to it, and coming up with the full interview that followed this between James Oliver and Mike Williams, where James is just is amazing in his humility and in his clarity of thinking, where he just says, look, this was the answer to all of the questions I always had. Please accept our apologies, because I know that the quality is not great, and unfortunately some of these older webcasts, the quality just wasn't there, and it's very difficult to try and get it up. But look, gold is gold, even if you've got to brush a bit of dirt off it. And family, enjoy this, because this is one of our priceless diamonds.
I've been chasing the Gospel 101 message for about 32 years, and I have had in and out of many different churches, Southern Baptist and Baptist and Evangelical and even a Catholic church, and been all over, and I've seen the ins and outs of it. I was a little bit put off by all the competition between the different churches. You know, we're better than you are because of this and that, you know, thing. And I got caught up in it as well. But the more I got caught up in it, the more I knew that it wasn't what I needed. It wasn't the truth. And everything fell apart. I got out of the church after had several run-ins with the pastor over different verses and issues that were going on as I was beginning divorced and trying to get my life back on an even keel. And I was told that if I left, the Holy Spirit would leave me and all of this other stuff. Mm. And for about, let me see, 11 years now, 12 years, 15 years, something like that, the Holy Spirit has never left me, not for a minute. But I never, in all of my searching through different Bibles, and I've worn out about 7 or 8, where they just won't stay together any longer. And I finally got to the place where I knew that I had to take a knife and cut the Old Testament out, the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms, and cut that out away from the New Testament, because it was confusing me. But when I heard Gospel 101, it was just yes and amen all the way through. I sat carefully. I've listened to it twice a day since I got back here from that Sunday, and I can see its value even more. And I think it's way past time for it to come out, but it's finally here, and it's a blueprint for me and for everybody else that is a serious seeker of truth. If they just want to cut through all the stuff, this is the blueprint or the how to do it and come out on top instead of everything else coming out on top of you. And I would really encourage getting it in print and nailing it on every door in the world.
Well, of course, James and I talked while we were there in Calgary, and I think the thing that really impressed me about all of this is that James has been listening for a better part of a decade. He's heard most of the material that I've done. He sat through the most recent teaching series, The Image of God. And then he and, of course, Dee and Lee are both just really wonderful girls there in Kelowna. And he was picking up their Gospel 101 CDs also. I think he took about 25 of them home and had to split them up between the three of them. And he gets home. Now here I fly back home. He goes back home. And then, you know, a few days later, I get this message on my phone, which we asked him for permission to post that online, because you just don't know what needs to be said. So just keep saying whatever you can say until people get what they need. You know, this discussion has been up in the air for us for several weeks now about what to say, where to start. Do you start, you know, with the gospel of peace? Do you, you know, would you start with telling somebody there's no such thing as hell? Where do you start? But I think this proves there is no where do you start. You just simply have to share the truth. And at some point, that truth really does become applicable to our understanding. And I think if I were to put it in other terms rather than it being a CD on how to do it, it's more of a CD on how it was done. This yes. is the completed work of the cross, and this is how it was done. This is how he did it. Is there a hell? Isn't there a hell? You know, is there judgment? Isn't there judgment? Is there prophecy? Is there unfulfilled prophecy? Is there prophecy yet to be fulfilled? Are we under the law, not under the law? All of those questions are addressed in Gospel 101, and I suppose, James, it was just the picture of the entire thing that made it click for you.
Yeah. It is on how it was done for so long. I've read it and read it and read it. It's been right in front of my face, but I could never make the connection for the comparison that you brought out. And I think if more people could or take it into consideration, there'd be flipping hallelujahs everywhere. It'd be coming off the walls. That people would be just... I was so pumped when I got this. I knew that if I could get it through my head, as stubborn as I can be, and as much as I fought everything I was hearing from you, this is just too good for to argue against at all. The peaceful manner that it was delivered in and the gracious manner that you addressed our intelligence out here in Never Never Land, you know?
Well, you know, those comparisons are powerful, and I sometimes use the term keeping the mind arrested to the proper comparisons, because if you make proper comparisons, you will come up with the answer. The answers are there. But if, you know, if you're trying to figure out, is the tribulation going to take place before Jesus comes back or right after Jesus comes back? You're pretty well screwed up if that's your question. You know?
Yeah. It's like the barn is full of manure, and here's the tool, the equipment, finally to do it.
There you go.
Let's clean it out. You know, that's it's just the opportunity, once you understand the gospel, to look a child in the face and say that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, and I love you, and communicate that with that kid all through their life.
Yeah.
How different our world would be with children being raised up with that knowledge in their heart and mind. That's it.
Thanks, James.
You bet.
I want to tell you a story about the Do Right family. That soul-singing gospel group from the hills of Tennessee. They travel in a silver eagle with 8 rooms and a shower. And every Sunday afternoon you can tune them in on the Do Right Hour. Oh yes, friends and neighbors, we are the Do Right Family.
Do Right Family.
Broadcasting over the airwaves from Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Reach over and turn up your radios and we'll bring our music to you. And pretty soon you'll shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, you got to do right.
Do right.
Right,
do right,
do right, and if you do right, you know you can't go wrong. Here's Brother Thurman.
Howdy, neighbor.
Sister Doris and Sister Deirdre.
Hey, I don't know how the Do Right family are doing, but I do know that the Gospel Revolution family are hooping it up big time at www.gospelrevolution.com. Come join us there. We'll be waiting for you.
Gospelrevolution.com.
Clear. My eyes are
judgment pass, someone apocalypsed me. I never felt like this before. The liar, in the twinkling of my eye, I was changed. Sure was hot in that lake of fire where my soul got rearranged. Bubbling liquid gold has some precious perfection within. I'm breaking out of the mold through the cracking of my skin. It is the river of grace I'm in. Drink and know that you are okay. And know that you and God have always been one. Knowledge has passed away. Now that truth has come. I never felt like this before. I can't see evil anymore. But now the spirit of life is my law. Is this what I've been waiting for?
Please welcome the author of Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace, Mr. Ivan A. Rogers. Ivan!
Good evening, Glenn and Michael.
Good evening, Ivan. I'm so glad to have you join us tonight. We're privileged.
Thank you very much. The pleasure's all mine.
We've had Ivan on before. Ivan wrote a book about that maybe Judas Iscariot wasn't as bad off eternally as we were taught in church. And, Ivan, maybe nobody's as bad off as they thought they were before the understanding of the gospel came in.
Well, I agree with that. The problem is most people don't know it. They're better off and don't know it. Better off because of Christ, better off because of the cross, the atonement, that I believe, I have come to believe, embraces all humanity, not just the favored few.
Why have you come to that conclusion?
Well, it's been a slow development over the years.
Ivan, how young are you?
I am 82.
You're 82 years old. And how long were you?
I'm 82 years young.
Yeah, 82 years young. Thank you very much for correcting me. How long have you been a credentialed minister?
I've been a credentialed minister about 58 years.
Okay. Michael, you were 2 years old. When,
wow. 1 year old.
You were 1 year old when Ivan was credentialed. All right, so and everybody can relate to what was happening when you were credentialed in the early 1950s. All right, give us a little synopsis of what happened from then to you becoming eventually a very high administrator in a denomination and to where you are being able to release in 2012 a book entitled Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace.
Well, as you indicated earlier, I come from the evangelical persuasion, and I married the piano player of the church, a young lady.
All right,
My wife and I pastored several churches early on in our ministry, and then I was called to the national office, and I was an officer of our denomination at many levels down through the years, and finally retired in 1994. Now, I have retired three times, and every time I retire, they come and get me. And so the latest retirement, I was chaplain at a large nursing and retirement home here in Des Moines area for 5 years. Finally decided it's time to retire, but a little country church needed a pastor, and they were quite concerned. They probably wouldn't be able to find one. And so I stepped forth and volunteered myself and my wife, who plays the piano and the organ, to stand in the pulpit until they found a pastor. Well, guess what? After we were there 2 weeks, they quit looking. And we've been there now for about a year and a half. And we just love it. I only have to preach on Sunday mornings,
yeah.
And I have the rest of the week off with good behavior.
You understood the full effect of the cross. You were kind of undercover for a while. Why did you do it that way?
Well, number one, I came to a slow realization of the universal redemption of all humanity. And it was not only slow, but it was painful because it went against everything I had ever been taught.
Yeah.
And it went against everything that the denomination that I served believed. But slowly but surely, I came to the conclusion that Christ died for all humanity, and that ultimately all humanity would be accepted, whether in this life or in the world to come. All humanity would learn of him and respond to his love. And also at the same time, of course, when you believe that, then you have a real problem with the doctrine of hell.
Yeah, you do.
And so there again, slowly but surely, I studied and prayed and agonized for a number of years. Finally, I accepted the evident truth that there is no literal hell of torture, and that Christ died, and therefore all would be saved.
Ultimately, you came to that conclusion, and you came out of the closet, so to speak. And you went back, when you got this gig at the country church, you went back to your denomination to get your credentials from them, but you told them what you believed. And what was their response?
Well, what do you think it was? they were stunned, to say the least, that I had accepted this this way. They were very kind. They had some meetings at the highest level, and finally concluded that they would no longer renew my credentials. Our credentials had to be renewed
periodically. And but because of their statement of faith, which explicitly says that hell is a real and literal place of torture, doesn't use those exact words, but it is there. And of course, the denomination does not believe that all humanity will ultimately be saved. And because I had departed from, shall we say, the party line,
right,
they concluded that they could not renew my credentials. And I am not angry with them. And I don't make an issue. I just accepted it. It did hurt because I hadn't known any other denomination. This is the only one I knew anything about. It was one of their churches that I accepted Christ in, and went to their college. In time, became the president of that same college, one of the offices that I served. And I have many, many friends in the denomination, which shall remain unnamed. And they took no pleasure. I can tell you this. They took no pleasure in denying my credentials. And in fact, some of them actually wept. And but they felt they had to do it,
right?
And so, it is done.
It is done, Michael. Although it hasn't been that long, it will be if you are alive as long as Ivan is.
I'm trying.
I know you're trying. You're doing a good job, by the way, about to approach 60. But you can relate to a lot of what he is saying. How thrilled are you to hear this story?
Well, I mean, goodness, Ivan, for me, and just hearing your story and the tortured soul story of taking this route, I certainly identify with. And to hear your story, for me, it's like I don't even know how to put it. It's like bathing in sunshine for me. Of course, you understand as well as anyone to take such a such a course in life, especially within the confines of evangelical Christianity, and realizing in your heart that you are slowly divorcing yourself from the entire network of evangelical Christianity, and then having to come to that point where that what's in your heart does come out of your mouth. And it then brings that that division. I think it speaks very well for you as a human being. I have to tell you that many of the churches and organizations that I was invited to leave, they did it with great glee. So I don't know that I don't know
that's
that
where
I
we
was
that's in, where we part company at that point. But
I don't know that I had the type of character that you've had over the years to cause them to be crying at my departure. I don't think I don't think any of them cried, actually.
But, well.
Goodness,
I'm
to hear you
to report.
It really is. It's just an incredible delight, and I am grateful for your journey. Oh my gosh, and those dark moments and such brilliant moments in the middle of darkness that you are. But you know, you can't really tell you're walking into the light unless you've been to where it's very dark. And
this is true, Michael. Well, I'm pleased to report that when my credentials were denied, I was contacted right away by some other denominations, and I now have an ordination credential, and so I won't get arrested for preaching.
Ivan is the author of the just recently released book, Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace. We are happy to embrace this book. Michael's about to release a book Steve and Aaron Essery just released a book called The Hour We Least Expected. You guys know, I mean, all that this effort is about is promoting the gospel.
Yeah.
You go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNobles.com or it's available on Kindle. Get this book, Dropping yes. Hell and Embracing Grace. You got to get the book. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. And so many people, Ivan, are producing gospel-oriented, focused books and blogs and posts. I mean, there is something happening in the earth right now.
There is indeed. And since you mentioned the book, I'd like to just, if I can lay my hands on it here, I would like to give you just a few of the chapter titles.
Yes, please. That'd be awesome.
I won't. There are 12 chapters, and I won't name them all, but let me give you some of them. Chapter 1 is entitled God's Covenant of Adoption. Chapter 3, Creation's Extreme Makeover. Chapter 6, Considering All Things. All is in quotes. Chapter 8, Fooey on Free Will.
Fooey on Free Will?
Yeah.
Come on.
Chapter 11, The Good News About Hell.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to name.
What do you want to do? What's your heart say? How many people have wound up married because it was supposed to be the will of God? These are the things that you're all upset about. What would you like to accomplish, regardless of what age you are? Do you know how many people's lives have been paralyzed by sitting back waiting to figure out what the will of God was for their lives? I hate that doctrine. I absolutely detest it. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
That was just a sample of what Mike Williams said when he spoke at the 3rd Annual Gospel Revolution Convention in Calgary. Mike taught the book of Romans verse by verse from beginning to end, and you will never hear Paul's letter to the Romans taught like this. Connie Nelson told me after attending the convention that it changed her life and she will never see the Bible the same way again. Vic Dobrynin called it groundbreaking stuff, and David Dwyer of Brisbane, Australia said it felt like he had just been through a 10-hour detox program. This 11-hour series entitled The Book of Romans Revealed is available on audio CDs for $88 plus shipping and handling, or you can download it right now for just $44 at gospelrevolution.com. You have to hear it if you're going to believe it.
Need a friend? We'll be your friend on Facebook. Look us up under Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Go on, do it now.
Will there be hippies in heaven? All with long hair and cowboy boots, keep us all out. Well, only the straights be living. Oh, will there be hippies in heaven? Judging books by their covers and offsprings by mother is too weird. Super weird, man. You know, DC's looking.
I've got five other beautiful humans in the studio. I've got the Howells, George and Bonnie Howell. I've got the Benhams, Kate and Jeff Benham from Australia. I've got the Howells from Pennsylvania. I got Sean O'Halloran from down the street. And I want to know, what, given everything that you know and that you've learned and that you just heard just right now, Kate, is God in control of your life?
Well, really, the Christ is inside of you. So whatever you're feeling, whatever you're thinking, that's him. So go with it. Your heart is good. You can trust your heart.
Yeah, but ultimately,
Is God in control of your life, or are you in control of your life?
I think you are, and yeah, I think God has given that to us because now the Christ lives within us, so you are free, and yeah, you're free to do whatever, and there's no condemnation, no judgment. Freedom is a wonderful thing, and sometimes we don't know what to do with it, but...
Yeah, one of the greatest things not to have is spiritual anxiety, and that's been such a big problem within Christians or whatever, is that spiritual anxiety of wondering who's in control, what's going to happen. And the wonderful thing is rest. And Kate's got a beautiful lyric in one of her songs, and it says that we are who we've been searching for. And when we find who we really are, then we can rest in that. And with Kate and I, doors open. We walk through them.
We are who we have been searching for.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, my God. I can start speaking in tongues right now. Jeff, if you don't come and give me a kiss right now, I will be very disappointed.
No, I don't know where you've been, Glenn.
I'm in the cubbyhole back here. We are who we've been searching for.
Mm. It's a beautiful lyric.
Is that from the new album?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God.
And another lyric is that we are the jewel in the earthen jar. And I think that's such a beautiful lyric. And, you know, it's so simple. And there's no anxiety in it. There's nothing. There's just pure rest when you really know who you are and what has happened. And when you're in that, then it's not trying to muster up some faith. You're not trying to prove something or trying to, become something which is from the outer, like we look at Adam in the garden and Eve and whatever that was. But what was happening is that they were trying to look at something beyond who they really were. And as soon as we look beyond who we really are, then it becomes a cult. And so spiritual anxiety doesn't have to be when we just totally rest in who we really are. And it's such a wonderful thing. I find it very easy. I said to someone the other day, I can't remember when I had my last spiritual battle or my last spiritual warfare. I can't remember when I last said sorry and repented. It was so long ago.
Wow.
That's a really good feeling. Really.
My last spiritual battle, that's a mouthful in and of itself. The thing that everyone is describing here is this incredible reversal that has taken place from humans trying to place faith in God so that he can be what he is, and instead God has placed his faith in us so we can be who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And he believes in us, therefore it empowers us. We in the past have been trying to empower God with our faith.
Mm.
And God has decided to empower us with his faith.
You know, one of the greatest things that I really learned was that because we have his faith, and if you look at the word faith, that means to convince and persuade. So I'm not trying to convince or persuade myself of anything. I am convinced by his life in me. I am persuaded by his life in me. And that's so easy because you can just sit back, not in a lazy way, but you can just sit back and allow, and you know, we used to say let go and let God. Well, that's what it is. It's just letting go and let God. I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
In him. Anyway, he's Uncle George and Auntie Bonnie.
The only thing I have to say is something that I read on a Facebook page of a lady that's sitting here beside me, which is Kate's page. She has something on her page that says, be yourself, everyone else is taken. And that's my advice to Connie, be yourself.
Well, I think Connie would say she's being herself by saying that she wants God in control.
Well, then you know what? She needs to follow that path for a little bit longer.
All right. See, Michael, I love that because as we have on many a time on this webcast advised people to stay in the very church, whether it be an evangelical, Baptist, Word of Faith, Mormon church, we tell people to stay in their churches, Catholic church, as long as they can.
Yeah, and stay where you are as long as you can. You know, I am not one given to change my mind quickly. There are many of these concepts of the gospel that I have ruminated over for as much as 10 years before my heart has embraced them. And I realized that in a teaching form, that out of 10 years of ruminating and thinking and trying to understand, that because it comes out in a form of teaching that I hope is the that the Holy Ghost is teaching people's hearts through, that people can embrace this immediately, things that has taken me 10 years more to contemplate and think about. But I'm not one given to change my mind quickly about any of these things. I can tell you that each and every one of them, of the major issues, it has been years. All of them have been years in the process. I've had to go over these things for years and years, and I'm very grateful that people get it in a flash, but sometimes I'm a little jealous, you know, that they can get to get it in a flash. And, it took me years to try to convince my brain to let go of religion and embrace truth. But, that really is has been the process. But so many of these things, all of these things, it has taken a long time. So I do encourage people. I'm not sitting here trying to force somebody to change their mind. Wherever they are. Now, if they've got a question for me, I'm more than willing to answer it. But if my answers are not sufficient to change your mind, I encourage you to stay where you are. And, George put it very, very well. I'm very grateful he spoke up and said that, because it brought these things back to my mind again. But, we're not in a mission to try to force people to change their minds. I am absolutely comfortable with whatever you believe.
All right. You just said what we are not in a mission for. What are we in a mission for?
We're in a mission of simply sharing the gospel. It's to get it in the airwaves. It's to get it in people's ears, to get it in front of their eyes, and let them at least have the option. It is not with the goal of trying to force them out of the mindset they are in. I am comfortable with their mindset. It is they that have to become uncomfortable with their mindset, not me. And whether or not I persuade you is irrelevant
right.
to me. My goal is to share it, and that's it.
We don't hear much from Bonnie Howell. I mean, we've heard from Gio on years now of webcasts. We're very thankful for it. He's got his website.
My mouth is too big. That's why you don't hear from
yeah,
him.
So
you still can't hear from him.
Whatever. And Jeff and Kate, we love, but Bonnie, what's going through your mind right now?
Well, to answer the question that Connie had, I'm not real deep into theological thinking and, you know, words or anything, but I can only say from my experience, I don't know if anyone has known this before, but George and I separated for a while, and at that time we were both in the church scene, and I did what this woman was saying and believing that God was in control. And when he left, I deliver mail for a living, and it's in a rural area. I cried and I prayed and I sang. It was very, very emotional. I don't even know how people got their mail. And I can remember in the midst of all that, of, you know, thinking that if I prayed enough and I begged God enough and, you know, I praised him enough and just did this special formula that he was going to take care of this for me because God was in control.
Right.
And out of nowhere into my head came this thought,
So what? I said, you know, I can't believe he left me. And I heard, so what? You have eternal life with me, so what? And, you know, take it for whatever, you know, a personal situation like that. I mean, a lot of people could say it's emotion, it's whatever. But for me, I knew that was not where my mind was, and I don't know how that came into my head.
Right.
And I was stunned for a while, and it was like, wow, you can't be God. That's kind of heartless. And as we got back together and came on this journey of what the gospel really is, I can say that that was not the end of some of my trial. My father was cheating on my mother, and rather than deal with that, she committed suicide. And again, I had prayed to God, if this relationship he has with this other woman, you know, if it's not just a friendship, if it's more than that, please correct this, God. So as I know what the gospel is now, I had to hate God because he answered one prayer, but as far as I'm concerned, he let me down on the other one.
Right. But he didn't really answer your other prayer. I mean, what came out of your heart was completely contrary to the direction that you were praying in.
Correct.
And, Michael, I don't know if it was on a webcast or in a conversation that we had the other day, but where did that sense that Bonnie just expressed come from if it wasn't from God?
Well, it comes from our own heart because God is within.
Right, so it's literally produced from what is already resident.
Absolutely.
And even though, as Bonnie said, it is completely contrary to what we think that would be said.
Yes. Yeah, and it is God, but it is us, and that's the line that we're always wanting to draw that line. This is God, and this is us. But see, this is what the gospel has done. There is no line anymore. There is no definitive line drawn any place. In the sky, in the scriptures even, there is no line drawn between humanity and God now. We are one.
Between all humanity.
Absolutely.
God.
And, we had the question about the Trinity, and what I believed about the Trinity. And that's, when I had coined the phrase a couple of years before, we had the webcast actually, and I said, "Well, I believe that it's all changed." I said, "No, I don't believe in the Trinity." I said, "I believe in the quadunity of God."
Yes.
Because now it's not three in one; it's four in one. And humanity, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all one. There is no line. There is no distance. We've got, like Bonnie said, we've got Christians trying to teach us how to close this gap between us and God, through obedience, through prayer, through worship, through the programs, as Bonnie very aptly pointed out. But you've got to understand, there is no line between humanity and God anymore. There is no out there when it comes to God. There is no distance. There is no separation. There is no definitive difference.
In other words, ladies and gentlemen, there's no definitive difference. Now, I pause for a dramatic effect right here, but I want you to consider what I'm about to say. There is no difference between Jesus Christ and Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yes.
You can agree to that, Michael, can't you?
I absolutely can.
I know you can, and I can too. This is Glenn Klein Online. We're way over time. We would be remiss not to let in and receive the influence and the wisdom of this next caller, of the administrator of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Jeff Roberts. Jeff!
Hey, everybody. This whole thing about God believing in us.
Yes.
Now, this has been... This has been an ongoing, often, well, off and on ongoing conversation between me and Mike. And I actually, one day I was like, Mike, look at this. Look at this one statement Jesus said, you know, it's like, because nobody believed in Jesus. Nobody. Absolutely nobody. And Mike's right. Yeah. He said, yeah, nobody believed enough. And I said, Mike, even that word enough is not enough for me. Nobody believed perfectly except for somebody, because Jesus said, he who believes in me, greater works will he do because I go to my Father in heaven. Jesus knew who believed in him. There was nobody here who believed in him, but somebody believed in him. And it's such a wonderful story, because that means they did a greater work, whoever he was. And Jesus believed in himself, number one. Jesus believed in what the Father said about him. And what the Father says about him, he says about us also. But the Father believed in him. God believed in Jesus. And Jesus knew it. And greater works will he do because I go to my Father in heaven. And what did he do when he went to his Father in heaven? He took all humanity into himself and raised humanity into himself. He's God. And so, yeah, that's where our identity comes from. This is what we've been talking about for the past 30 minutes. It's about our identity. And our identity, and like George Najjar says, when he thinks about his identity, he says he literally can say, I am God. Well, why can he say, I am God? It's because he who believed in him. Jesus knew there was only one who believed in him, and it was the Father. And Jesus believed what the Father said about himself, so he believed in himself too, and he was also God. And greater works would he do. What did he do? He raised us with him. And like Mike says, we are a quad unity now, because he joined us with him.
So, Michael, is he who believed to do greater works, is that the God the Father?
Well, he that Jesus believed in himself, and he said he would do even greater works than this. Whoever did believe in Jesus, I think Jeff is correct here. That the only one we know for a fact, here's the scenario. Jesus came requiring that you have to believe.
Right.
Now, Jesus said a lot of things about what these believers would and would not do. The fact of it is, Jesus is the only one who fulfilled that requirement to believe. But one of the things that Jesus said was not a requirement about those to anyone that believed on him. It was something that they would accomplish, that anyone who did believe in him, greater works would they do. Well, Jesus is everything. Jesus is not just the one believed in, he's the believer. So it would only stand
Amen.
To reason.
Keep going, keep going, keep going.
he's not just the believer, he's the one that's believed in and the believer both. So if he is the believer and the one who has believed, then he has to be the one who would do the greater work also.
And he did.
And the greater work was done.
Amen. Does anybody disagree?
It doesn't make any difference.
No, it absolutely doesn't.
Exactly. It doesn't make any difference.
It is
finished.
Thank you, George.
Thank you for finishing Glenn's sentences.
Thanks, Jeffro. We'll see you soon, buddy.
All right.
There's Jeff Robertson.
Oh, the radiant spirit of living, wonderful gift of this life, the awesome state of thanksgiving, never having a struggle or fight, the glorious nature of being, I found what it is to be free, observing and finally seeing, we are one entity. As I look in your eyes, I realize I'm introducing myself to me. Oh, the joy of the journey. We must walk it alone. Learning the art of trust in your heart and to follow wherever it goes. No way. when there's nothing dividing, and knowing we're totally whole, and knowing there's nothing worth hiding, it's brought sweet peace to my soul. As I look in your eyes, I realize I'm introducing myself to me. We are you, where are you? Every last one of us, beautiful humans, it's true. Wondering what we should do, 'cause the wisdom inside is the key to realizing we're you. Oh, the delicacies of this banquet satisfy but leave me wanting more. I'm securely wrapped up in this blanket of grace, and I've never been here before. I can't keep this light from escaping. This is my identity, and as I look in your eyes, I realize I'm introducing myself to me. We are you, where are you? Oh, every last one of us, beautiful humans, it's true. We're a species that's new, we're brand new. No more hoping and waiting, wishing and praying and wondering what we should do, 'cause the wisdom inside is the key to realizing we're you.
On behalf of Mike Williams Ministries, Mike Williams personally, and everybody involved with the Gospel Revolution, thank you for joining us today. Come back next week and we'll do this all over again. Cheerio.
We're you, yeah, we are you, oh, we are you.